Chip's Faith Family Freedom broadcast. What an honor that you would join us today. And if you'd like to remind a neighbor, a friend, perhaps this might be the ideal time to do that. I think the program today has literally been crammed full with some wonderful segments, segues, some people call it, that will keep your attention, that will make the program palatable, that it'll be interesting. You know, I'm a firm believer that if we don't keep the interest of the viewer or the listener, we might as well be doing something else, might as well be playing mumble peg or whatever. So my idea is that let's have a program that you enjoy, that something will be beneficial, educational, inspirational, something that will help each one of us learn from what we see. And so today's program has been planned for you with that goal in mind. And I think right now we're going to go to the sanctuary of the Liberty Baptist Church, of which I'm a member. We have a message that we've done, cut it into three parts, one that we call comparisons. I'm here to tell you today that we're going to a prepared place one of these days. Here in the garden, we had a river flowing out of Eden. In the new place, it'll be a river flowing from God's throne. Is that what the Bible says? There we had the tree of life in the garden. But now we have the tree of life throughout the city. And it appears to me that the tree of life has been transplanted and brought to heaven. That's where it looks like it is to me. Let me just tell you something. We're living, as I said, this first verse here is paramount to what we believe. I'm glad today that God created man, aren't you? God saw us before we were ever formed. I'm going to tell you something. God saw you before he made you.
Right.
He saw your DNA. He saw the schematic. The Bible says that he made man, both male and female, in his own image. In the image of God created he them. In another chapter it said, there was not a man to till the soil. God made us. We don't know, as our Sunday school teacher has told us, we don't know the difference or how far it is between verse 1 and verse 2 of Genesis. We don't know exactly. I do believe this. I believe that God created it in six literal days. Not only that, did the first heaven and the first earth were finished in chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. In Revelation 21, it said there'd be a new earth and new heavens that'd be there forever. Brother Toddy, isn't it amazing that the God of the universe, and I don't know how many galaxies there are, I can read about it and it's just beyond my ability to think of the planets and the stars and the constellations and how that God makes them all in their proper rotation. I do know this. He said, as long as time remaineth, there'd be seed time and harvest. Said there'd be winter and summer, cold and hot, and day and night. I'm glad for that, aren't you? Yes. These people that say, well, we're in a climate thing here that says that so many years there won't be a Statue of Liberty, you can't see it. They predicted that several years ago, didn't they? You look at the Statue of Liberty today, and it doesn't look like it's increased one inch. My point is this today. We either take God at his word, we either have a biblical worldview, or we don't.
Right, right.
And that's what's wrong with our schools today. Although I spent a lot of years in the classroom, I would highly propose that if you can do anything about it, and get your children in a Christian environment, you ought to do it. You can't send your kids and let them spend 25 hours a week with teachers that might want wokeism, and you try to straighten it out with 1 hour in church on Sunday. It's hard to do. Parents at home have a real responsibility. And I'm glad today here. Now, here we have man in God's image. In verses 1-27, look at, so God created man in his own image. But in Revelation 21, it says that man will be in God's presence.
Amen. Right.
Isn't it amazing in the old Bible, and I'm through, how that the influence of God was far. When Christ was here, we have God with us. Now we have God in us. And we're looking for his soon coming. We're looking for his soon appearing. Because you know why? In the beginning, I don't know when that was, time is man's instrument. It's not God's instrument. I know God uses the time factor just like that the two dead bodies of Moses and Elijah, 1,360 days, 3.5 years, 42 months. But God doesn't reckon time like that. God's time clock is in other measurements. I'll say this and I'm through. In the Middle East today, Israel is God's time clock. I'm glad today that he created us in his own image. Friends, this is Andrew Phipps, and I have a little perspective today that I want to share with you, and it has to do with term limits. I believe that the members of Congress should be under definite term limits. I was thinking today it was that how that in up in Michigan, the Dingell family started serving in Congress and was elected in 1932. It passed from the dad down to the son and now to his wife. The Dingell family has represented a certain area in Michigan since 1932. I believe that's about 88 years that one family has represented or been in that position, which means that nobody else would have much of a chance to be able to add input or to bring fresh ideas. I think we must reduce the power of the lobbyists. The lobbyists want the system as it is, but the people overwhelmingly support term limits. I think that's the critical question that we need to ask our congressmen and say, are you a supporter of term limits? I've done that, and my congressman has assured me that he is a supporter of term limits. We need to make that a part of a national referendum. We need to limit the power of the Congress just as we do with the limits on the president to 2 terms or 10 years, and this was done in 1951 with the 22nd Amendment. We need term limits. We need them now. And this is Andrew Phipps. If you'd like to have any of our products, we do have a Faith, Fame, and Freedom Handbook. We have some DVDs. We did one with Pastor Jim Scudder in Washington, D.C. a little over a year ago. It's called Can You Find God in D.C.? I think you will enjoy the beautiful programming that was done in the Jefferson and Lincoln Memorials and other places. If you want any of our products, just call us or get in touch with us as would be indicated there on the screen.
In his new book, It's Always a Struggle, But, my dear friend Andrew Phipps delivers his life story straight from the heart, with a fascinating journey of faith, hope, and inspiration, even during the hard times. Andrew shares great stories from some of life's hardest lessons. Adding his own personal homespun humor and God-given wisdom, he encourages us to live life with a servant's heart. It's a great read that will have you inspired and give you an understanding of Andrew's journey as he shares personal stories of his family, his Christian faith, his great love of country, and how the transforming power of God changed the course of his life. It's often said that life gives the test first and the lesson later. Andrew makes an honest effort to help us by sharing his life experiences with humbleness, sincere candor, and his faith in God. We all have been there, those days when life is a struggle. I hope you will enjoy Andrew Phipps' new book, It's Always a Struggle, But. I highly recommend it.
To place your order for It's Always a Struggle, But, simply visit Andrew's website at phippsfaithfamilyfreedom.org. Order your copy today.
In 1917, the Ford automotive plant, the largest in the world, was producing cars at the rate of more than 300,000 a year. Even though Ford's primary interest was in transportation, he had been a farm boy, and he had always dreamed of making farm work easier and more productive with mechanization. For more than 10 years, he had been experimenting with gasoline tractors. Was it possible to design a machine that could be manufactured in quantity to sell at a low price, yet provide ruggedly reliable farm service? By 1917, after years of intensive work, a model had been developed that seemed to provide the answer. With his son, Edsel, Ford had incorporated a company to build the new machine. The firm was Henry Ford and Son. The tractor was to be known as the Fordson. It started on gasoline, ran on kerosene, and developed 20 horsepower. More than 50 experimental Fordsons were built, and two were tested in Britain. The British saw them as the first simple, reliable, inexpensive tractors. Tractors that anyone could operate.
And now we bring you the biggest, finest Ford car ever built. The new Ford V8 for 1935. Here is an automobile that combines all the resources, the engineering genius, the faith and the courage of the Ford Motor Company. Here is everything that anyone could want in an automobile. Beauty, safety, power, speed, dependability, economy, and comfort beyond your greatest expectations. Ford officials, headed by Mr. Henry Ford and Mr. Edsel Ford, personally inspected the first cars that came off the world-famous Ford assembly line. In the opinion of the makers who are launching the new Ford V8 on its 1935 journey, this is the best Ford car ever turned out. The 1935 Ford V8 is destined to make automobile history. Every modern convenience is provided for the driver. All of the new Ford V8 cars for 1935 have all-steel bodies. You'll like the new easy gear shift, too. New modern cars for the new year. Symbols of progress. Leaders in value. The new Ford V8 for 1935.
Stabenow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Professor Myers, you are here at the invitation of my Democratic colleagues. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. In his opening statement, my good friend Senator Whitehouse said, I want to quote, reproductive justice is economic justice, close quote. Do you agree with that?
I might, as an economist, use the word rights, but yeah, I do agree with that.
Okay. That's not true for the baby, is it?
Well, first of all, I would refer to a fetus, not
yeah,
a baby.
But that's, well, a fetus. I refer to it as a baby. That's not true as a, for the baby, is it?
The evidence that I presented to you, Senator Kennedy, was evidence about measurable effects on the lives of women, families,
right. I got that part, but that's not true for the baby, is it?
I'm sorry, I don't really understand.
Well, it's not true. Let me back up.
As an economist, I measure effects using data. I'm not here to talk about ethics, assignment of right. personhood. That's not my
role. Well, but you
role.
Said you agreed with the chairman's statement that reproductive justice is economic justice. There is no economic justice for the baby because the baby's dead, right?
I wouldn't refer. I don't really know how to answer your question. I would refer to
was the baby
fetus.
Dead or alive?
We're referring to a fetus.
Okay, is the fetus dead or alive after an abortion?
The fetus would be dead after
okay.
an abortion.
All right. If the mother is healthy, and the baby is healthy, do you support abortion up to the moment of birth?
So I think that's a really hard question to answer because that just doesn't happen. You're asking me about something that simply doesn't happen.
Well, it's legal.
I will tell you, it's legal.
It's legal in Vermont, New Jersey, Oregon, Colorado, New Mexico, Alaska, and the District of Columbia, and the loon wing of the Democratic Party supports abortion up to the moment of birth. So, do you support that or oppose it?
I don't think, let me say, I'm here to talk about the economics of abortion.
No, you're here as an expert.
And
I think you're asking me
a question as a person, which I'll answer as a person.
Okay, tell me as a person.
I will tell you as a person that I have ambivalence about abortion. I will tell you as a person, I haven't personally had an abortion. And I will also tell you as a person looking at the evidence around me and understanding how complex the decisions are that people face,
okay.
I'm just simply uncomfortable
I gotta move on,
thinking that there's a simple
answer
that applies to everyone.
Question.
I trust women and their health care providers.
Yeah, it's real simple. You either support abortion for a healthy mother and baby up to the moment of birth or you don't. And I don't think it's a difficult question. How about you, doctor? Do you support, if the mother is healthy and the baby's healthy, do you support abortion up to the moment of birth?
So, Senator, you're using really inflammatory language to talk about a medical procedure, and it's not a simple yes or no. Not to mention, when you make statements like that, you're erasing the grief and the trauma that my patients are going
through. You're not
going
to answer my question either, are you?
It's not a question that can be answered
in an
appropriate way.
I think I know your answer. Mrs. Ford, okay? Let's take a baby at 21 weeks. Hold up, Mark. This is a baby at 21 weeks, okay? The baby can feel pain, right?
Yes.
And the baby's pretty developed, right?
Yes.
And do you know the name of the procedure that the doctor would use to abort that baby at 21 weeks?
I'm not a doctor, but I believe it's a DNR.
It's called dilation and evacuation. Is that right?
As far as I understand, yes.
Yeah. And first, the doctor would dilate the cervix, and then the doctor would take what's called the doctor would call it a sofer clamp. It's really a pair of pliers with sharp teeth on the end. And without giving the baby any pain medication, the doctor would go through the vagina, through the uterus, and start tearing the baby apart. Is that right?
As far as I understand the procedure.
Yeah, and she might start with the legs and pull them out, and the arms and pull them out, right? And then she might go for the heart or the spine and just pull the baby out piece by piece. Is that right? Without giving the baby pain medication.
That's what I understand the procedure to be.
Okay. But then you got to get the head out. The baby's dead, but maybe not. Maybe it's still in pain. But then you got to get the head out. And even with the cervix dilated, you got to get the head out, which is hard. So then the doctor would go in and use those pliers to crush the baby's head. Is that right?
As far as I
understand. And then she'd pull the head out, the crushed skull out, right?
Mm-hmm. Senator Kennedy, your time has expired here.
Well, you gave the others plenty of time, Mr. Chairman.
Just letting you know, your time's expired.
Okay.
Your other senator's waiting.
Well, I was waiting when you were letting others. I'm sorry you don't want to hear about what happened.
No, I don't think anybody
in
else
an actual
gone,
abortion, I but that's, I thought
over.
That was what we were here to talk about.
No one else has gone over. Some of the witnesses went a little bit long, but on both sides. So
I thought we were here about protecting mothers and killing babies.
I'm going to turn to Senator Stabenow and Ms.
I'm sorry
Phillips.
You don't
sorry
want to hear
that
it.
This had to take
like
place in front of you.
We've got a whole roster here.
My apologies.
And you know, friends, we've had a very wonderful program today. Thank you again. It would be an honor to come into your area and maybe where we could find a good fundamental church. Secondly, we have a website, and Phipps Faith Family Freedom. We also do podcasts, BBS. Check it out. And also, we're doing a podcast with Ed Henry, formerly of Fox News, and it's going to be on once per week, and we're hoping that might springboard us into Newsmax. We appreciate God's helping us. I just want to do what I can under God's authority. You know, we don't claim to be experts, but we're here to try maybe to add to the dialogue. I certainly appreciate what we've just seen and heard about abortion. And, you know, I think it's whatever euphemism you give to it, it's still the cessation of a life, the killing of a baby. And to me, it's horrible. I think it's a practice that has haunted us. I believe that we're going to answer in judgment to it as people that have made it possible or those that support it. You know, going back to the Hyde Amendment, Mr. Hyde, a congressman from up there in Illinois and others, the Roe versus Wade, which is one of the worst decisions that some of the Supreme Court members said ever made, maybe right up there with the Dred Scott case in 1856. Well, friends, we've got a challenge. the contemporary society, many of those don't want any absolutes. They want a moral relativism, secular humanism that says do as you please, that you make your own decisions. Well, that was also stated in the Bible where it said that every man in the book of Judges did what was right in his own eyes. But there is a God. He's a righteous, thrice holy God. He's a God of love, but he's also a God of righteousness. I believe we're going to answer to him one day, either as Christians at the Bema seat or sinners at the great white throne judgment. Thank you for joining us. Have a great day. This is Andrew Phipps.